You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Man Dog Pod. That's right. It is the Man Dog Pod, an improv and conversation podcast hosted by myself, Ryan Rosenberg, and my esteemed colleague, comedian, actor, and friend, Dan Lippert. Hey, Dan.
I'm esteemed today.
I'm esteemed to be here.
Here's what I'm esteemed about today. Good to see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you too, bud.
Good to be heard out there in the world. Thanks for listening.
And happy December.
Happy December.
Our sort of December 1st check-in, where we just sort of wax poetic about what's going on and what's coming forward this month.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. You know,
that's right.
It was only maybe a year or two ago that because I was like, just thought Robin laid an egg was just a weird third thing.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make the connection that Robin is a type of bird.
Oh, me either. Because I know him as the man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Good I thought job. Laid an egg was just some dumb 50s turn of phrase that like kids right. added to this song.
I always thought it like he did a stinker. This is how I always imagine that egg is stinky.
Robin did a stinker.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's December and I have a cold. It's as simple as that, folks. Over Thanksgiving, I caught a little bit of a sniffler. And I've made it for a long time now without being sick. And I think this is the first one I can remember in a minute.
For the holidays, my dream would be to catch a little bit of Stifler, watch an American Pie movie. But instead,
I bet you can catch some of that.
Instead, you caught a Sniffler,
which is too bad. Right. I was scanning for Stifler on the TV, but I just got How to Catch a Cold.
I hate that. Is it affecting your sleep yet?
No, it's not too bad. Yeah. I feel energy. Like this is going to be a mild one. And I'm going to Michigan tomorrow where it's going to be really cold. So I think I'm going to take a cold walk and just freeze it out.
Yeah.
I know it famously doesn't work.
I hope that works for you, though.
It would be cool.
It would be nice. Cold stink. We all know it.
That's right. That's right. How was your Thanksgiving? How is your holiday shaping up? We're smack dab in the middle of Hanukkah.
Nice Thanksgiving. Hanukkah's good. Friend Mary Sasson had a little Hanukkah party last night, so it was nice to light the candles with some friends and do the latkes because I missed Hanukkah with my mommy because I left the day before. Kind of, well, we had some big grande records on Sunday, and also, like, the Sunday traffic is so miserable on the way back. But the Saturday traffic was no good neither, so that was a bummer.
Oh,
but
boy.
Nice to be home, see my mom. Eat good food, just hang out and really take it sleazy, as they say.
Super nice.
First time Super back nice. In my mom's house since pre-COVID, which I hadn't really thought of. But
oh, yeah.
Like, we've seen each other, but it's always been her traveling up this way.
Uh-huh. Was it weird? Was it like, wow, I really haven't been here in a long time?
No, mostly just because... I don't know. I don't perceive time super well, I think, where it's like, oh, man, it's been 10 years. And, like, that's not the house I grew up in. So it's there is, like, a nostalgia-ish to it, but not like if it was my home. Right. So.
Right. Well, the big buried lead there is the Big Grande Records.
Yes. Oh, yes.
To anybody who likes us here at our podcast, oh, excuse me, I had a little indigestion.
Oh, my
pardon
gosh.
Me. Anybody who likes us here at the Man Dog Pod knows about Big Grande, and we got a few things in the hopper, I'll say.
Yeah.
A few different kinds of projects, but we just recorded, should we say, we recorded some minis for the holiday season.
Yeah.
And they're going to come out soon. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, hopefully by mid-December, we'll have 10 new episodes on biggrandewebsite.com for the good people of America and the whole world,
totally.
Honestly, and beyond.
And I got to say, this one, I was cracking up.
Yeah.
I mean, these sessions were really fun.
This could just be called several hours of laughing or however much time it's going to be.
Yeah, they're pretty silly.
We just laugh through them.
They get pretty silly.
They're really fun. Excited for people to hear them. And
so, yeah, you can get those as a gift for yourself, a gift for a friend or family member. You can share it, all that kind of stuff. I'm really excited for this one. This one, it really felt like us hitting our stride.
Yeah, it's just when you say you only have 15 minutes, we go, all right, great, let's get it all out.
Yeah,
and it's really
exactly.
fun.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm stoked for it.
Yoo-hoo. That's what people are going to be saying when they see these minis. Yoo-hoo.
That's right. You got to get the video Dan playing with this little eyeglass cleaner like it's a scarf from a flapper.
Yes. Yoo-hoo.
You're about to call a race or something.
But yeah, those are that's the big news. We're at about one thing every 3 months for Big Grande, it feels like, as a release schedule. That's not planned, like, but that's about where we're at. And the last release was Teacher's Land in September. So,
right.
Eat up, mates, as we say.
It's exciting. And then, you know, not to preload it too much, but then after these podcasts, we got another fun little project that'll be coming down the pipe.
The animated stuff or the live stuff?
Well, there's an animated thing, and then there's also the live on set stuff that we did that was really fun. I feel like we're doing a lot of stuff that really makes us happy and have fun. Yeah. So hopefully all that stuff translates.
It's all cooking, baby.
Yeah, totally.
And ever since we recorded that, I have been pretty aimless in my life and purposeless, which really, you think that's the dream.
Not.
It's not.
It's not. You got to find that mix of feeling like you're doing something or you have some purpose and also not like grinding yourself down to fulfill that thing. You know, what's the thing that you like to do and are pulled towards, but not, I go a little too much in one way and a little too much in the other.
Yeah.
I'll like burn myself out with being busy and then that part's not fun. And then I'll like hit the brakes too hard and then sort of like hit the lows. Yeah.
Not making plans for 3 weeks. It's like, well, that's not the way to do it either.
I bet you that third week is going to be pretty sad and lonely. First one might not be, but
yeah. So we'll see what the, you know, December is a time to reflect on the old year, consider the new year. And we'll see what the new year holds for us work-wise and life-wise. It's just, you say it a million times, there's no new thoughts here, but I really have to lock in on, like, what do I want my life to look like? Because the COVID thing's not going to change. Assume it's going to be this way as it is now or worse. So you can't wait for some, like, big door to open that's like, all right, here we go.
It's not really a timeout. It's just sort of a shitty part of the existence.
Yeah.
And you gotta, you know, act as such or whatever.
Right.
Or keep moving. Yeah.
So,
are you scared of the new Omicron?
I'm more scared of the disease doesn't scare me as much as the people do. Like every new reason there is to be like public strife. And they're just going to be there forever. And it's like today's news was right now the Supreme Court's considering that, is it Mississippi or Missouri case or whatever, one of those, no offense, but awful states. And it's just like, it feels like there is this disease where we are all dealing with. But the real thing I'm scared of is like, I think we have a national cancer of conversation and like politics that is way worse and makes me more stressed out every day than the actual COVID of it.
Right. Yeah. Cause the COVID is not the law. It's not the chosen law. It's like a natural thing we have to deal with.
Yeah.
The other one is like societal scary choices.
Yeah.
You know,
like humans,
it's like fuck.
And it feels like my currently pessimistic perspective is like the, we've been playing this game for a while. And the Republicans have like put all the pieces in play and now like they push the dominoes and it's all happening. They control everything, it seems like, even
which
though
is crazy.
Because
it's technically not right. But
And that type of stuff, like when I hear about a new Omicron or whatever, it's like, this is going to suck. But what's worse is that I got to fight people again over facts or whatever. That's what is weird to me, but.
Yeah, it's hard. Really shitty. Yeah. Shitty news. Just so demoralizing. It's like, what do you fucking do with that? You're like, okay, I can't do anything in Louisiana or Mississippi or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't. Yeah, it feels very frustrating.
Let's see. What about if I'm trying to be optimistic?
Long pause. Long pause. You have your health. You have your family and your friends.
Yeah.
I guess that's more gratitude than optimism.
That's gratitude.
Gratitude.
That's gratitude. Oh, yeah. From Big Mouth.
I had a fun little this week. We were watching Curb, And we saw a friend of the podcast, Talia Tabin, on there.
Two friends of the podcast. I would say Talia is almost best friend of the podcast.
So absolutely. Member of, nearly.
And Zach Reno as well on that episode of Curb. But yeah, how cool was that to see Talia? She was great.
So cool. It's cool that, like, as we get older, that show that I've been watching for years and years, like, all my friends are getting closer to it. You know, like, some friends on it, but it's like, oh, like, how did I work my way all the way over here?
Yeah, this is, we went from, like, far away to achievable. And Talia was great. Yeah. It was like a relatively like straightforward role that she made funny. And knowing that it's all improv, it's like,
right.
I always hate the word proud because it makes it feel like you're doing it from above. But like,
yes.
I did feel pride, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Joy.
Yeah, I feel very proud of my friends for like attempting it and getting it and being chosen and then doing a great job. Yeah. And it's definitely a prideful thing for sure. Happy for
him. So check out the, I think it's episode 7 of Curb this season, maybe 6.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. 6 or
with
7.
With Talia and Zach. Zach was great on it too.
So funny. I know you were, you said you couldn't watch for a second because it was a Jew for Jesus, which was an idea you've had before.
Well, I mean, that's a Christian for Jesus. I was more just envious.
Excuse me.
I was just envious in general, but ended up watching and being very happy.
Right. It's so funny though. It's like, oh, that does feel close to a thing we did. Okay. Ideas are out there. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
But it's very funny.
But yeah, every time something we did gets made, it's just like, yeah, that it's good to make things for big audiences. For sure. But yeah, that was an exciting thing to watch. We talked about our last week's, we talked about our top 10 movies of the year, and then we talked about, like, what if we did TV? I looked through it. It's so hard to find. I don't watch a lot of TV. I, like, do, but I don't, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, also just the way that it works now, it's such a, like, individual and forgettable experience.
Yeah.
Like, when you used to watch, like, the thing on Thursday that was available to everyone, you could, like, talk about it at the same time as people and... Now you really have to like seek out and dive into the niche on the same schedule. And it's just weird.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I feel like we all binge stuff at different times. And then it's like, well, I binged it really fast because I was the only one watching it. But now I have no one to talk to it.
Yeah. About. Yeah. Yeah. I feel that way.
It's a strange, like, too fractured.
You'd be like, I want to talk to you about Midnight Mass or whatever. And they'll be like, well, I'm only on the second episode. It's like, all right. Well, let's see. What's up?
I remember which part I can't talk about.
Yeah.
Totally.
It does make everything feel so meaningless almost. Where
it's
like,
weird, right?
You want to consume things and have them be like important, not just like a blip in your year.
Well, I feel like it's not something I realize, but I generally want the things I do to be like a connective experience, not like a more isolating experience. Mm. So like even when you're watching TV alone at home, you're at least connected to like the other people who are watching it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think like that's one of the great things about sports is like it's live and all the fans are caring in this moment and that connective thing is cool.
Right.
But when you're just like, oh yeah, did you see that thing? Yeah, I can't even remember when I watched it, but I've lost my interest. I just sort of burned it.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It just feels like pine needles burning up and being forgotten, but not really creating any heat.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I like that image. I did go to Warriors Clippers last Sunday. Speaking of live shared events, and that was really fun to.
How was it?
It was. I think I really realized as it was happening and afterwards that like I had quietly put to bed the idea that I would ever see a really like a 2016 style Steph Curry team live, like just that brand of Warriors basketball that's like really fluid and high energy and like sharing and really fun. And so seeing it, I was like, oh, this was a bucket list thing that I didn't realize was until it was happening. And they had like a classic Warriors game, like Curry, the refs were being pretty shitty and were like really making the game very hard to play. And then Curry just got pissed and fucking went off. And it was so cool to watch.
He's so fun and like explosive.
And I'm just like, so, nothing new. Everybody thinks this about him, but I'm just so impressed with like the idea. You really see when he comes into a new city, half the crowd is just there to see him. And he's like so aware of his job as a performer as well as a basketball player. Like people are there to see him do a tightrope walk of shots and dribbles and passes, because when they work, it's like incredible. And he just knows that. And it's really fun to watch.
Right. He's the best. He's so cool. I mean, he changed the game forever.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't wait to see like the next one, you know, like
who's
going to be the next Steph Curry? Is there going to be someone who like can shoot as quick and as accurate as him? Like, it just seems hard to imagine.
Yeah.
You know,
like John Morant is not the next Steph Curry, but he's also a pretty good showman.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like something like it, like he did really change all of basketball, the way everyone plays, like that Warriors offense did.
Yeah. I just watched a thing about like seeing the NBA change from like a big guy league to like a guard league, and like see that balance of power shift or whatever begs the question of like, what is the next one?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is just like this version of basketball kind of getting more efficient and scoring more points per minute and whatever. Like, at what point is someone going to score 200 points in a game?
Right.
Or some, you know what I mean? Like, and how will it happen? Like, just outlet passes to threes?
Yeah.
It's like 3 seconds before they shoot every time? Like, what is going to be the thing?
The rule changes this year helped, too, because it would have kept going that way. But the scores are now, like, a little more manageable because they allow people to play defense a little more. They don't call fouls as easily. So that... I think like whatever the next step will probably be rule related. Like the big man game went away in the early 2000s because they wanted the game to move faster and be more fun. So they like eased up on fouls.
Right. Right. And I wonder like if the, are the games shorter now that everybody isn't going to the free throw line all game? It must be like way less dead time.
They feel shorter. They feel like the flow is a lot better to me.
And like guys have way less like huge high scoring games. You know what I mean? Like Harden was scoring 40 points almost every game. And then like you take away free throws and he's like, shoot, I don't even get 20 every game.
Because he's getting like the 12 free throws. And then he's also getting all the extra points because people don't want to foul him because they know they're going to get called. So he's getting more space. Right. Yeah.
Just opens it up so much.
Yeah. But it's been a fun season to watch.
Yeah. Are you, do you have any big predictions for the end of the year?
I don't. I mean, spoiler alert, but we're recording this as the Suns just beat the Warriors, which were like the two best teams right now. And I think maybe people were surprised I didn't get to watch that game due to Hanukkah plans. But so I'm curious how that'll play out. I think the finals will be the Warriors. I'd like it to be the Warriors and the Heat, but I think it'll probably be the Warriors in Brooklyn. But I don't know.
I'm so bad at that stuff.
Yeah. You can look at my gambling history and know that you shouldn't follow my predictions.
Me too. I'm horrible at it. I want to know, when is Kyrie going to come back for the Nets? I mean, like, is it like an unspoken, like, I'm just not on the team anymore? Is it just a COVID thing? Like, at this point, it seems like a pretty big thing.
Yeah, I think for anyone, I think he's done. For people that don't really know the story, Kyrie Irving is on the Brooklyn Nets. The city of New York made it so that you couldn't, like, play basketball, basically, if you weren't vaccinated. He got mad about that. And the he was like, okay, I'll just play road games. And the team was like, no, you're going to either play with us or not. But you got it. So he went on anti-vax terror. And I think, like, the impression I get is he's too proud to get vaccinated or whatever. He just believes too strongly in his absurd belief.
Tough time giving even space to an anti-vax person.
Yeah. So it's like, I think it's, I don't know. I can't read his mind, but I don't think he's going to play again.
Right. It's crazy. I mean, it's also like, what does he make a year? Probably like $50 million.
It must be something like that.
I know they're not paying
him
all that money, you know?
I don't know where that, because it feels like it's like Ben Simmons. They weren't going to pay. He didn't want to play because his teammates, he had a terrible season last season, and his coach and one of his teammates talked shit about him. And he was like, fine, trade me. And they couldn't get a good trade. So he's like, I'm not playing. They stopped paying him. And then he was like, well, I'm not playing because of mental health issues. And so now they have to pay him.
Right.
It's so weird. Like,
right. I know. It's kind of weird. It's an interesting. I'm always on the player side, but it is like, well, the games is how the money is.
Yeah. I generally
if you don't participate.
Yeah. I generally, because the media is so quick to like denigrate players. And I think I've said this before, but almost every documentary we watch on sports now is like the media was very mean and the truth was a lot deeper than, so I try to reserve judgment, but I am also like, at the end of the day, I would rather be talking about how good this season is with Ben Simmons and Embiid, like at their peak, than how much he's being a wiener.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have huge opinions on him being a wiener. I just want to see him play basketball. Yeah.
Same with Irving. It's like, so you made the super team and now we're never going to see it in full force.
That's kind of the bummer, right? Is like, I mean, whatever. I'm sure there's other deeper stuff, like you said, but it's like, yeah, this was supposed to be like the year that all three of these guys were healthy and it was going to be like the most high-powered offense of all time.
Yeah.
Could have been really cool.
Yeah, and now it's just like Kevin Durant has to play all the time and James Harden's constantly in a bad mood, and it's like, this is a real bummer.
It's a downer. It's interesting watching these guys age, because it's like all these guys who were the best players in the league, to me, are no longer head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, they've slowed down enough, and other people have gotten good enough that it's like, I don't know if this super team is the superest team. You know what I mean? Like, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I think it is weird to see, like, okay, yeah, these guys for 5 years of my life were, like, the guy. Other than Durant, he's still the guy. He can do whatever he wants.
Incredible.
But, yeah, Harden is definitely not so much.
Mm-hmm. Even LeBron, who people are, like, people will still be, like, he is still the best player in the league, and I'm, like, it seems kind of ridiculous to say at this point. Like, he doesn't play in all the games. He doesn't do amazing in all the games. He's still a really important player to have on your team, but it's like you can't put down the story somehow.
He's the most dominant when healthy player in the league, but he's he's not the best right now.
Right. And that consistency matters. Yeah. If you're really dominant in 50% of the games, you're pretty not very good.
And he's fucking out because he didn't get the booster, so he can fuck off too. Like, you're not the best player.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know that.
Like, you're not the best player in the league if you can't follow simple human health rules. I'm not giving you that credit, and I'm giving extra credit to someone like Steph Curry, who is doing that stuff and is publicly, like, following science and putting out positive information about it. Like, that counts for something for me.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I align with that person. So I'm like, they're good. Yeah. You know, and the other ones I don't, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Must be nice to be such a millionaire that it just, that you can be that publicly defiant. You know,
I want $1 million more than I want anything else in the world.
It does seem like it would just solve every problem. But now I hear stuff of people being like, you know, $1 million isn't really that much anymore. It's like, well, then what am I ever going to do? If I never get to $1 million and you're not happy, then what the fuck?
Yeah. I think $1 million will do me just fine. No, it won't. You're right. It's all not enough.
No, it is. It is.
But yeah, it would buy happiness. Absolutely. It would change everything. It would be so great.
Yeah, absolutely. I would vacation until it was gone, and then I'd be back singing the same tune. You know what I mean?
I'm singing the same tune. But
what the hell's going on in this country, man? It freaking stinks.
This sucks. Everything's so expensive now.
I only went to Acapulco twice last year. It's bullshit.
The restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, no, never the place. No.
But that's the old basketball talk that you can expect every week on this podcast.
That's the round ball roundup.
That's the round ball roundup. 2022, what are we thinking? Predictions, plans, hopes, dreams? I'd like to, who knows with this damn Omicron, I want to go to Europe again. That Europe rules. Traveling is fun. I guess I could travel around the U.S. too, but there's something about that trip is just such a blast.
Well, it's such a fantasy. It's such a like romantic, like, oh, if I go there, everything will be so European and nice, and you know, and it will be very cool.
I think that would be.
But you're right. Lots of great places to travel in America too. Do you want to when you want to go to Europe? You want to go more for the culture than for like the place and the land.
Well,
a little bit of land,
the architecture, just like being around stuff with like history, I really like. Being somewhere where I'm out of my comfort zone is really nice. Like, no matter where I am in America, other than New York City, where everyone's mean to me and it's scary, is my comfort zone still. I get it. I can maneuver. When you're like on a vacation in another country, you're a little more like you're like learning about yourself. You're putting yourself in new situations and you're learning about other people and like my perception of how it works. And I like that stuff a lot.
Well, when I'm in America, I'm the center. You know what I mean? I'm the center of the action. Mm-hmm. It's all about me. It's nice to be in a place where nobody cares.
No, you are right. You do feel kind of anonymous.
Yeah. Like, I'm kidding. I obviously don't think that I am like that here, but I do like take for granted how I think this is like my place.
Yeah. For sure.
I get to go wherever. I get to walk into any business as long as I have money to pay for, you know, whatever, whatever. But when you go there, you're like, can I?
Every simple transaction is like me holding coins and being like, is this right?
Keeps you on your toes. Yeah,
and I like that. Yeah. And then I like how there are moments where you feel really nice because you're like really scared, and then some like nice Italian cafe owner is really nice to you, and you feel this like mm-hmm. humanity that is really beautiful, or like mm-hmm. you come across, you're just putting yourself out into the world more. And so like for me, when I was in like Cinque Terre, just one night, there was just like this band playing this fun music out on the boardwalk right by the water, and there were like fireworks, mm-hmm. and it's just like little things cool. that you just don't come across when you're sitting in your room all day.
You're like, who put this here? My dream? Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I would love a nice big trip. I am going to Europe, I will say. I'll call this not baby Europe, but I'm going to London, which to me...
They left the Euro. They left the Euro, so... Or whatever it's called.
What are they using? Are they using pounds again?
They were always on pounds, I believe, but they left the EU. That's what it's called. The European Union.
The European Union. Yeah. Right. So I'm going there over Christmas, which I'm very excited about. And I'll probably get a little of that European vibe. I'll definitely feel like, you know, fish out of water. I'll feel like people hearing my American accent will make me stand out a little bit. You know, I'm sure I'll be very meek and be like, no, I fit in.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see a new place. And I think over Christmas time, it's supposed to be all dolled up.
I think it'll be like Paddington.
It'll be really nice.
Have you been before?
This will be my first time in London.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going with my girlfriend and her family, and they're very nice and kind, and it should be a really nice trip.
Are you looking for recommendations, or do you have plans for the whole trip?
No, you know, I'm kind of along for the ride. You're doing there'll be my girlfriend's brother is getting married, and they're going like dress shopping for all the women in the... you know, in the ceremony or who are going or whatever. So they have like a day or two set aside for all of that. And I think, you know, me and her dad will like go to a pub and walk around or, you know, something, which I'm kind of excited for. I like to sort of travel with no agenda and sort of stumble. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to have a couple things planned, you know, but then I also like to be like, what do I want to do for the next 4 hours? Maybe I will look up how to get to this place, you know?
That was the fun of what we did in Chicago, and that's how I like to travel, too. You have, like, one big meal that you're like, I know I need to be in this location for the meal at this time of day, and then everything else just revolves around that.
Right, right. Because I feel like if I overplan stuff, it kind of takes the fun out of it. Like, it takes the spontaneity out of it for me, and it makes me feel like I'm checking boxes or something like that. And I don't really care about, like... logging the experience. Yeah. I care more about like the inspiration behind it. Does that make sense?
For sure.
I want to feel in the moment.
You got to be present when you travel, baby.
You do. I'm going to eat some fish and chips. I'm going to eat some Indian food. We're planning to go to this really nice Indian restaurant.
Dishoom?
Not nice, but yeah, I think
that was going to be my recommendation.
Have you been?
Yeah, I went when I was there. Beautiful. It was great.
When did you go?
I went at the tail end of my Europe trip. So I did Italy. That's right. Greece, and then I was flying home from England, so I was like, I'll get there a few days early and just chill. Got food poisoning from some street cart halal, and
I'll definitely be doing that.
Yeah, I'll tell you the one place to go if you want to be too scared to use the subway because your diarrhea is so immediate. And then I also had really bad like general allergies, so I was like physically really run down, but still saw a couple plays. Just didn't get to do like the pub thing and that thing that would have been very fun because of that.
I'm excited for Dishoom. Supposed to be great.
It was good. Good, like just kind of cool feeling. Good cocktails. Yeah. Good food. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm stoked. Yeah, that's kind of my my December roundup. It is sort of the first year I usually do a big family Christmas thing down in San Diego because my sister, mom, aunt, and uncle, cousins are all down there. So it is one of the first years that I'm sort of electing not to do the family Christmas deal. I may go down the day after or days after we get back, which will be like the 26th or 7th and still be like, it's kind of Christmas still.
Right.
But it will be weird to like not do our routine, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'll miss out on that, but a new routine of a yearly London trip, maybe.
I can't wait. I really can't wait.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird because we have like many routines and traditions in my family, but like not a ton. So like when we don't do a thing, it's not like, oh, I'm missing the routine, but you do feel like it would be nice to be doing this kind of feeling.
Right. I don't have a huge family, but we're tight knit enough that like all of the 6 cousins show
right.
up. And like most of my cousins feel more like siblings, like we're a big sibling family or something like that, because we're all pretty close. But I think only because there's not a ton of us. There's like maybe 10 or 11 max, and usually it's like 7 of us that are all in the same place because we live in Southern California.
Yeah, that's nice to have that with the cousins like that.
It is. It's really nice. My cousins from San Diego, Allie and Amy, shout out to those
big
guys. They're great. They're so fun, and my mom is really close with their dad, which is her brother, my uncle. And so, yeah, it was nice. We always got to spend all the holidays, and it was cool having, like, friends other than your sister. You know what I mean? Like, cousins provide a little bit of relief from the nuclear, but also, like, expansion or something like that.
Totally. So nice. That's nice.
I miss them. I'm excited to see them, and hopefully we'll still get a chance.
I let my mail stack up, but I just started opening it and just got to... Your mom sent me a birthday card. That was very nice of her. I got to send her a thank you. It's a great, I think it was like a pop-up card too. It was very elaborate. And
she thoughtful. Just sent me a pop-up card too. She must be part of some freaking club.
The pop-up club.
Yeah. She's always part of some like internet, like sending cards or, you know, whatever. And they're wonderful. Yeah. They really are. But she's always got you can always tell it's one of hers.
Yeah. Very thoughtful. So maybe I'll spend Christmas with her since you won't.
Yeah, call my mom. She'll be down. For sure.
Well, it looks like thinking about it out loud, we just don't have much going on in 2022. So the door is open and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. If anyone ever,
I think it's a nice feeling of space that we can walk right into. That's how I kind of feel about it. Is that I don't have a ton on the calendar, good or bad. I don't have a lot that's like locking me down. Yeah. So I feel like there's a big area of energy to, you know, do some stuff.
Yeah, for me it's...
But I would like to already know.
Yeah, it's wanting to know and also just wanting to know what I want. That's like when I bring up the question now, it's like, okay, I don't know what I want to do in 2022. So that's something to think about, something to lock down for me, set some goals so I'm not as aimless here out in space.
Right. Maybe even just setting goals of things you know you can control that you like. Things that keep you happy that aren't work. Are those goals worth setting?
Let's see.
I think that's an issue for me, is my professional goals and my personal goals are too closely woven. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's 100%. I think that's...
I wish I could separate them and do both. Take turns doing them rather than feel like I'm always working and always playing and I don't know which one's which anymore.
Yeah. I am.
It's a good problem to have, but
yeah, for sure.
Still, but definitely what I'm working with.
Tough to live in a way where I always come back to the image of like just like in the water and whichever way the tide's pushing me is where I'm going. Instead right. of like, let's get that stroke down. Let's start moving and let's see a dolphin and swim towards it or whatever this image is pulling me towards.
Because I feel like also no matter what, it just feels good to choose your life. Yeah. Even if it's not the perfect choice, the fact that you chose it and then it happened is pretty satisfying.
Yes. It's the thing I think I'm always surmounting is this idea that it was beneficial to be available for a lot of our lives, for like our career, whether it's like you first start getting into podcasts because they hit you up, the ones we look up to, they hit you up the day of because someone dropped out and you're like, great, I'm free, and then all of a sudden you get your footing in that one, and then it starts out, it's that way with auditions and other stuff, and it's like, okay, that means I always have to be free, but that can't be the mindset either.
Right, it's like, I should be free when I want to be.
Yeah.
But if I, sometimes I should be working on the thing that I want
to
do.
Yeah, I should. It's already, okay to say no to stuff because I'm doing something that I want to be doing.
Right, right. Well, we're going to do it in 2022, baby.
That's the goal.
This is a big activation call for everybody. Follow your dreams. Make them happen. Manifest your own destiny.
You hear us out there? I like what you said about that, though. Yeah, the work and play have to be both planned and both mindful.
Exactly. Because I kind of plan and do neither.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, Big Grande doesn't hang out as buds that much anymore unless we're working.
Right.
But if we're not working, then we don't hang out. Which is like, well, both should be happening always, but they don't always have to be the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
More proactive in the things we want, I think. That's my goal.
Well, speaking of proactive, why don't you proactively up your subscription to the Man Dog Pod? No, I'm just kidding. But thank you for listening, everybody, and for being with us for going on our... We're now entering our third year of this podcast.
Crazy.
And our second year of doing it in lockdown? I don't know what you... not lockdown, but... so thanks for everyone for being along with us and allowing us to continue doing it through support and both emotional and financial. We appreciate it from everybody.
That's right.
And
that's
Ryan, always nice to talk to you, man.
Always nice to see you, my friend.
Brian Holmes, thanks for your production help. Annie Wu, thanks for your logo. And Casey Trailer.
Casey Trailer for the wonderful song.
We love y'all.
Goodbye.